This is 5-on-3. Center ice for all things Islanders, Rangers, and all news across the NHL on WFUV Sports.
Welcome back to 5-on-3. We are excited to be back in the studio after the holiday break. I'm Sophia Smith, and I'm joined today by Grace McCarron and Tucker Austin. Today, we have a lot to discuss about our local tri-state teams and the direction that they are going this season. But first, how are you guys doing today?
I'm good. Islanders look pretty good. Ilya Sorokin leads the league in shutouts. Matt Barzal, 500 career points last night. I mean, what's not to love? It's a beautiful day outside. It's very cold, but yeah.
I was having a pretty good day myself, but then some news came across my desk.
Across my desk.
And I can't lie. That made my day. It is yeah. A great day today. And for those of you listening who don't know, I am a Devils fan. I also cover the Devils for WFUV Sports. So, man, the news coming out of the Madison Square Garden today is very good for Devils fans, but very, very bad for Rangers fans. Sophia, I'd like... Shout out, that was a great intro considering the circumstances.
I know. Well, yeah. I wrote that before the news came out. my day was ruined about an hour ago, but we're going to get into that. That's going to be like, we're going to save that for the end of the show because I feel like we have a lot to discuss before then.
Absolutely.
But anyway, just some general NHL. We're going to check in on the standings. The Colorado Avalanche, of course, lead the league with 74 points, and the Vancouver Canucks have found themselves in last place with just 37 points. The Carolina Hurricanes lead the Metro with 60 points, and then right after them is the bright and shining star, the New York Islanders, with 57 points. And I think we should talk about the Islanders a little bit here.
Let's do it.
Standings order. Standings order.
Absolutely.
Islanders are the best team in the New York City area.
Exactly.
How about that?
And so we have to give them their props that they deserve. Last night, they beat the Oilers 1-0. Sorokin with a 36-save shutout. Kind of a interesting game for the Islanders just because they didn't look that good. They only had 2 shots in the third period, but they got the win, got the goal. So, yeah, Grace, what did you see?
I mean, last night was, like, not the most beautiful game of hockey of all time. Obviously, you want a few more shots. And then they had that loss to the Jets on Tuesday, which was, you know, Jets aren't very good, as we know. But, you know, you can't win them all. Can't win them all. So, I'm fine. Obviously, Tucker's not going to want to talk about this, but I have to bring up the 9-0 win over the Devils.
Don't worry. We covered it. We covered it last week.
I'm sure
week,
you did. I wasn't here.
I appreciate you bringing it up again, because it definitely has escaped my memory.
But that was right before a shootout loss to the Preds and then an overtime win in Minnesota over the Wild. So kind of an up-and-down road trip so far, but I'm not mad about it. I feel good. Feel good about where they are. They haven't really, like, gone on a really terrible run yet, which, knock on wood, hopefully they avoid. Even though Bo Horvat's been injured, they've had some other injuries that have, you know, not been the best. They've managed. So it's really all I can ask for. I'm happily, pleasantly surprised.
I thought the Oilers game was maybe not the prettiest,
no.
But I think it was, like, a great, like, old school hockey game.
Yeah, that's also.
I mean, 1-0. There's so much scoring in the league this year to get a 1-0 game.
Yeah,
it feels like a needle in a haystack.
Yeah, especially against the offensive powerhouse that is the Oilers.
Oh yeah, and like the way that Islanders were able to shut down McDavid, even though McDavid was still doing like kind of McDavid-y things. I think didn't he like he ran somebody over at the blue line.
Yeah. It's definitely the kind of game that like last year's Islanders would have lost in like an ugly fashion.
I mean, they almost fell behind like multiple times in this game.
Right. But they won. They also won their home or no, their first win of the season was over the Oilers at UBS. So that'll give them the series.
Yeah. And like for Sorokin played so well last night.
He's such a beauty.
So good.
He's so good. He has 4 shutouts this season.
Five now.
Five.
And that's to lead the league.
Yes, it is.
So that's obviously like, as a Rangers fan, you know, I know how important it is to have a valuable goalie, especially like going down the stretch and into the playoffs. Like for him to be able to like keep it locked down, like basically, like be the reason they won that game is like a really big deal.
Yeah,
it's important for them to have that, and like Anthony Duclair getting like back
in
the.
He's been hot.
Seriously, like because he came back from getting scratched for 2 games and then had the hat trick and now. He's been scoring, had the only goal last night, so it's good for the Islanders.
I'm feeling good.
It was a nice goal, too.
It was a nice goal. He's had a couple one-timer. Of nice ones. Yeah.
That was a, for me, beating Edmonton on the road, especially now that Edmonton's like playing a little bit better, a huge respect road win. Like, for me, it's kind of proof that the Islanders are like a little bit more serious than I think everybody was thinking. Like, yes, like preseason, everybody's like, oh, they're a bottom three team in the NHL. I didn't think so, but they kind of even surprised me. They outperformed, I think, everybody's expectations. But now, like, having continued to do that over the course of the first half of the season, and now you get a pretty big win on the road against the Oilers and against McJesus.
Yeah.
I don't want to get too ahead of myself here, but if they do make the playoffs, I think it would be a fun first-round series.
Definitely.
And I think Sorokin is the kind of goalie where if he's still hot, they get to the playoffs.
I agree.
You could ride him through the first round into the second round.
I would agree with that.
Is it crazy to say the Islanders might take a playoff series this year? Maybe.
Maybe.
I don't know. I need them. Like, I really do need them to, like, maintain this.
Yeah, I think that consistency.
There's been no bad spot.
Yeah,
so far.
Consistency has been a big thing for them this season. And that's, like, we're not, like, oh, they're going to go on a run at the end of the season, and that's going to be the reason that they get in. They're just going to, like, keep up with this pace that they're at.
Right.
Which is very different from the Islanders, you know, that we've seen the past few years.
Yeah.
So that's good.
If they can do that, like, yeah, get a little hot at the end, like they did. That's two seasons ago now. Obviously, we know that they lost in the first round. Hopefully, that doesn't happen again. But I like what I'm seeing. I'm not.
Oh, they played the Canes, right?
That was the Canes.
Just don't play the Canes.
Just don't play the Canes.
Nobody play the Canes.
Please. Nobody's allowed to play the Canes.
The Devil's next game.
Yeah.
But so the Oilers, though, Ingram played last night, but Tristan Jarry has not really been the best for them.
Yeah.
Which
a weird trade.
Yeah, it was a weird trade.
That was literally just to get Skinner out of there.
Yeah. Yeah,
that was all it was.
Anybody else.
And then Skinner played a great game against the Devils in Pittsburgh because, of course, the Devils always run into a hot
Skinner
tender.
Skinner has been, better for Pittsburgh than he was for the Oilers, definitely. And then Tristan Jarry, like, I saw a clip from a game a few days ago where he, like, came out of the net, gave up the puck, and then they scored in the empty net. So it's like
classic Markstrom.
Right. It just seems like the Oilers have a goalie problem no matter who it is he comes from.
Which is so annoying because they should win multiple cups with McDavid and Draisaitl, and they haven't because the goalie has not been consistent enough. And it's just annoying as a hockey fan because I like the Oilers. Like, I like watching them a lot. They just can't, like, get out of their own way with the goalie.
The fact that it burned them in back-to-back cup finals is kind of crazy.
So annoying.
I feel like that needs to be talked about a little bit. It was definitely talked about plenty, but I think it still needs to be talked about even more.
I agree.
Bobrovsky's, like, I don't think the Panthers are going to be in the cup final again this year, but, like, Bobrovsky,
they're in a pretty deep hole
really
right now.
I know.
I mean, we're talking about the standings. The Panthers are second to last in the Atlantic, and they're 10 points out of the top of the division. They're only, what are they only? Actually, they're 8 points out of I think that would be a wild card spot. Yeah, like 7 or 8 points out of a wild card spot right now, which is still tight enough that
they
have room
it,
to get back into the dance. But they've been struggling.
It's obviously their top players are injured, like Tkachuk and Barkov. But, like, to see
is Tkachuk coming back soon?
I'm
pretty sure Barkov was on a longer
timetable. Yeah, Barkov
timetable.
Is longer. They were saying he might be out for the full season, but Tkachuk is supposed to be coming back sooner. But it's crazy, like, seeing them in the cup final 2 years in a row, and then they might not even make the playoffs or win the cup.
Yeah, Marchand's hurt it again a little bit. That's like a more recent thing, but also something that I feel like you kind of had to expect with him, just because he's, like, getting older and, like, pretty older.
Yeah.
Like, he's not just, like, early to mid 30s. I'm pretty sure Marchand's, like, close to late 30s here.
36, maybe?
Yeah.
I'm gonna look it up.
And yes, he's playing in South Florida, so he's playing in South Florida, which is probably easy on the joints, but I mean, I think he's still, the age might be showing a little bit there, some fatigue, but it could also just be like a Vegas situation.
Yeah.
They're just giving him some time off to get him ready for the playoffs.
Yeah.
And then it would come to no one's surprise that the Panthers would make it into the playoffs after going on a run in the spring.
Yeah. And, like, do a little damage, too. I wouldn't be that shocked, especially if Barkey comes back,
All right. Well, is that all for what you want to say about the Islanders, Grace?
Yeah, feeling good. They have How many more? Three more road games. God, it's a long road trip.
Oh, yeah, they play the Flames
tomorrow.
Isn't it
seven games?
Seven games
that
all
is unreal.
Out west and late at night. I can't, personally.
Shout out the condensed schedule. The game's at
3 tomorrow, yeah. Thank goodness. And then Monday in Vancouver at 10. I know, 3 is weird.
Is that like 1 p.m. in Calgary? I think it's 1 p.m.
That sounds
not
right.
Noon.
It's not
I think they're like 2 hours behind.
Yeah, because Calgary's like less west than all the other ones. Mm-hmm. But and then Seattle at 9:30 Wednesday night. And then they come home to play Buffalo.
I would like to see the Islanders.
That Buffalo game's going
to
be fun.
I would like to see them really play a not tight game like tomorrow and then against the Canucks.
I would love them to like bludgeon. Yeah, these two teams like are
you
not.
You kind of have to. Calgary has nothing.
So that's why I'm saying like after the tight game last night and then like losing to the Jets and the overtime and whatever, like I would like to see them win like 5-1 tomorrow.
I agree. That would be great. Like,
yeah.
I need like a few statements because sometimes they don't play that well against these
confidence
teams that aren't any good.
Win.
I'm like,
yeah.
Guys, they can be better. Like the Devils that time, you know that's not the real Devils. Matt Barzal said it himself, so.
Yeah, no, yeah, they have a tendency to occasionally just be like a shell of themselves.
Yeah.
It's very weird.
But like they play like that against the team that's like legitimately not that bad. And then they like, you know, against the Jets, it's a loss. So I don't want that. I want a few nice wins here.
Yeah, well, turning it over to the Devils, they were in a bit of a funk, you know, as we said, lost 9-0 to the Islanders and then like lost 4 straight, including losing to the Jets. But then they had the Hughes Bowl against the Wild.
The new Hughes Bowl. It no longer involves the Canucks.
And they won 5-2, and then they beat the Kraken in overtime 3-2 on Wednesday.
Huge Cryptid Cup win.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
The hardware comes home. The Devils win that weird, random, mythical creature cup that's like, I forget where it even came from.
Yeah.
I think it only cropped up like, I think it may have been right when the Kraken like became a team.
Yeah.
So it's like 2 or 3 years ago. Right, I think maybe now. A year after they were a franchise. But it's just because there's only 2 mythical creature mascots in the NHL, and it's the Devils and the Kraken. So
there you go.
Devils got that win. It was huge. Heischer had a pair of goals, which they needed that performance out of him bad, especially after that, like the 9-0 with the Islanders, and then giving up the first 3 goals to the Penguins before scoring like a garbage time goal in the third period. They gave up 12 straight after booing Luke Hughes off the ice, and I explained this last week too. That was a horrific situation.
So bad.
And they needed to pull themselves out of it somehow. The first guy to score had to be Luke Hughes. It just took 12 goals from the other team before Luke Hughes could score. So at least they got that out of the way,
mm-hmm.
Because then they went on to Winnipeg, which was kind of a tough game. I mean, they shouldn't be losing to the Jets because the Jets are really struggling this year, but it was a road loss and it's a 1-goal loss. So
it's
I'm not that mad about it. Would have liked a point, but like, it is what it is. Dougie Hamilton was benched for this game, which was pretty interesting because
that
whole saga is kind of coming to a head here this season. But Hamilton got put back in against the Wild, and then the Devils won the next 2 games.
Mm-hmm.
And suddenly Dougie Hamilton is playing better out of literally nowhere because of 1 benching.
Yeah.
And everything I heard from like NHL media was like, oh, Dougie Hamilton is really mad about this benching. Like he's probably going to be terrible now. But it actually made him like a little bit better.
Mm-hmm.
I think he may have realized that like a trade is very, very possible. Like there have been rumors over the past few years, but they're getting very serious now.
Yeah.
Like Elliot Friedman is talking about Dougie Hamilton rumors on NHL Network. Like this is DEFCON 2 for Dougie Hamilton. they're saying he might go to Canada. but no, I've heard like Maple Leafs in the discussions. I think I've heard the Canes a little bit might have interest. The Sharks, too. I think I saw a projected trade. I really don't, like, I don't care too much about who comes back in a Dougie Hamilton trade as long as it's a top 6 forward.
Mm-hmm.
Because they need a spark plug so bad. They're supposed to have spark plugs on this team already. Timo Meier. But he still refuses to play to the level that he's actually supposed to be.
Mm-hmm.
And he's supposed to, like, score first goals in games, get the offense rolling, but it just sometimes they look like they did against the Islanders, where nobody gets anything going, and they just do cardio for an hour and then go home.
At least it's a good workout.
I guess. The fans hate it every time.
Yeah.
They threw a PK Subban jersey on the ice in UBS Arena.
God, that was incredible. Yeah. Nobody knew what was going on. I've never seen that happen. Nobody knew what was
going
on.
The fact that a Devils fan who owned a PK Subban jersey was so mad that they actually decided to rid themselves of that jersey in an opposing arena was just...
So good.
So good. Cinema, as they say.
I don't care about it nearly as much anymore because of where the Rangers are at now. Either way, it was a huge performance for Heischer. He was talking a lot post-game after that series of losses that like he himself needs to step up and have a response for the team, and this was it, pretty much. A game late, technically, because they played much better against the Wild, but still, it was huge to see the captain have that performance. Markstrom has looked, honestly, solid since the Islanders thing. Getting left in the game for 9 goals is definitely rough.
That was crazy.
I can't believe they did that to him.
I can't believe that happened.
See, like, so many random things have happened to the Devils in like the last 2 weeks. Yeah. It is just really weird. But I feel like it's making them forget that Christmas was a thing, so this might be good in the long run. Either way, they left him in for 9 goals. That was tough. But since then, he's honestly rebounded pretty well. He played really, really solid against the Kraken and pretty much kept the Devils in that game, won them the point going to overtime, and then you can credit the extra point to Nico Hischier.
Yeah.
But they got the Canes next, and I am scared.
I would be too.
It's going to be really tough. I wrote in my notes, the Canes seem to be the Devil's sleep paralysis demon.
Yeah.
I really have no other way to describe it, because the Devils just can't get by these guys. It really doesn't make any sense to me. I covered the last game in early January at the Rock against the Canes. The Devils lost. Post game, all of the players who were available and Sheldon Keefe, everybody was saying we just want to move on, like reset, kind of forget about this game because it's the Canes and we know that they're like kind of the boogeyman, so we're just gonna move along. But that just can't be the mindset for this one.
No,
because you've got 2 wins in a row here, and 2's a streak. Whether you like it or not.
Yeah.
But you gotta start to string more than 2 wins together, especially where the Devils are at, like bottom half of the Metro, but still in a tight race and trying to work their way out of a slump. They got to get this 3rd win in a row. It's a huge opportunity to get the train fully moving towards the playoffs again. But I'm also really scared that a loss to Carolina, which would be the 3rd for the Devils this season, would probably break some spirits.
I was gonna say that's a tough one.
That would, some hearts and minds would be lost. And I already see a lot of Devils fans on social media like expressing their thoughts about the season, and I've seen a large chunk of people be pretty distraught since the Chicago dinner incident. I'm still optimistic, though. I have been this whole time.
Yeah.
So I really think when this team is at their best, that Devils team that we saw in the first like month of the season was lethal.
Mm-hmm.
I'd seriously good. And if they can just figure out, like, they got to get the stars to align, I guess, for some reason.
That team is somewhere in there.
It's like, in there. They are. It. And they're on a 2-game streak now. If they can get by the Canes, this could kick off a huge winning streak and just a huge, like, back 2 months of the season. And then that trade of Dougie Hamilton could be a tipping point as well.
Yeah.
Just to, like, circle back to Hamilton. Again, got to get a top 6 guy. Fans have also been clamoring for Andre Palat to get moved, but I really don't think he needs to.
Mm-hmm.
Palat, I'm fairly certain it was in the Wild game. Yeah, it was the Wild game. Palat scored 2 goals against the Minnesota Wild when the Devils were coming off of a bad loss against a bottom team in the West, in the Jets. And out of literally nowhere, veteran presence, Andre Palat, 2 goals. And that's why he's there.
Mm-hmm.
He does all the dirty work. It doesn't really show up in the stat sheet that much. And you can complain about the lack of, like, obvious production. But he's an integral, like, piece of how this team functions. And if you're going to move one of the 2 of them, I think it's got to be Dougie Hamilton.
And
get a forward. The defense group is already really solid. Seamus Casey's an all-star in the AHL this year, by the way. So not worried about the decor whatsoever.
Yeah.
Dougie Hamilton, I liked the social media while you were the admin, but respectfully, dude, I think you got to find some work somewhere else. the Devils need a forward in a bad way who can get their offense rolling. That's pretty much the state of the Devils, to be honest.
I mean,
much more optimistic than the last couple of times I've had to do this.
Yeah.
I mean, last week was rough. Last week was like middle of a four-game losing streak, and like immediately after the Islanders loss, and I was just, I was distressed, to say the least. But I hadn't given up.
No, I think a win against the Hurricanes would be a really nice way for them to just keep climbing up the standings, like, and
if they don't, it's gonna be another thing that just hangs over their head. Where like even if they make the playoffs, they're gonna have to play the Canes eventually,
and they're gonna have to win against them to advance. Like literally, that is how it's gonna
exactly
be.
Like you have to win the games,
right?
Yeah. So, like, no, but I am looking. I'm looking at the Metro, and like four out of the five or the East, and four out of the five teams currently in a playoff spot were not in the playoffs last.
Yeah, the Atlantic is a mess.
Yeah,
the Atlantic is a complete
mess. Insane.
Panthers, Leafs, and Bruins all out of playoff spots.
Buffalo and Boston are in the two wild card spots.
Oh, they are? Oh, okay. Oh, so then the Metro is getting squeezed out right now.
So it's going to be really interesting because I feel like we said, you can't ever count the Panthers out. The Devils seem to be trending in the right direction. The Leafs
are kind of
there.
How funny is it that the Devils, the Jackets, and the Rangers were all like 100% preseason playoff projections and are all bottom of the Metro.
Yeah, everyone was like, watch out for the Blue Jackets. I'm like, all right, guys.
They give the Devils some weird problems. There have been like serious fights this year between the Blue Jackets and Devils.
I haven't heard anything about the Blue Jackets all season.
Me neither.
They keep brawling with people. I don't know why.
Yeah.
Okay. Is it time?
It might be time.
Discuss. Yikes. Okay. So, the New York Rangers are currently on a 5-game losing streak, you know, since that 5-1 win at the Winter Classic in Miami. They sit last in the East. They've given up 30 goals against in their last 5 games since Shesterkin got injured. Gave up 10 in Boston, gave up 8 the other day against Ottawa. And today, about an hour and a half ago, Chris Drury sent a message to fans basically saying that there's no hope for this team this season. And
so the season is over.
The season is over. He says that it's a retool, not a rebuild.
Unbelievable to me.
We're going to be saying goodbye to some of our favorites just because that's what has to happen when there's a retool. And it just sucks because I feel like you saw the problems at the beginning of the season, and there was just no changes made. And so then that puts you where you are at now. Because I just kept thinking, like, there's going to be some sort of wake-up call. Like, either the players are going to fix their mindset, they're going to see that they're giving up 10 goals in Boston, and then they're going to come out on Monday, and they're going to beat the Kraken, but no, that's not what happened. And I was like, someone's going to get fired, but no, instead, Chris Drury is waving the white flag, and maybe it's time. You know, at least we know now, he put out the statement, and at least we have a sense of direction, and that direction is just downwards, I guess.
Barely 2 weeks past halfway through the season, by the way.
Yeah.
Does that not alarm you a little bit?
I just...
The East is, like, pretty close.
I know, but...
Is it, like, completely out of... I find myself just honestly not believing Chris Drury when he says that we're retooling and we don't think we can make the playoffs.
I don't know.
He didn't say explicitly, I don't think we can make the playoffs, but I think that's what he was saying, right?
No, that's totally what he's saying.
But I don't think you can't say that, right?
Well,
I mean, you can't say that yet.
Yeah. It's just that
they have the talent to go on an insane
heater. But where
heater.
Is the talent? It's not there. The leadership this season
peak Mika.
Mika has had a great season. He's taken a huge step up this season. He's the only one who has done that. JT Miller is like doing absolutely nothing and saying, I don't know.
What does he even do?
He doesn't do anything.
Right.
It's funny that you say Mika took a step up as if it's like he's not still playing below his
last season,
a step up.
He's the only one who's like scoring consistently. And Panarin hasn't had that like hasn't had a great season, and I feel like he's the one that we're gonna be saying goodbye to. I feel like,
yeah.
And then it's also I don't know who is even safe at this point. Like I don't see Shesterkin going anywhere.
That's really dangerous.
Or
I don't think
Fox, but
I don't think NHL fans really. Correct me if I'm wrong, but I haven't really thought about Panarin getting moved.
Yeah,
like at all.
Me neither.
No, I. Cause I
but
was,
if he does, that's like league shifting. If
yeah.
Panarin goes somewhere,
true.
Like, because he might just re-lock in again
yeah.
wherever he goes. He's probably just, like, floating at the moment, a la Mika last year.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. Why does this happen? Like, I feel like
They don't have any
Did they
heart.
Not fix the locker room?
No. Because they gave away everybody that had, like, any urgency. I started with Goodrow, obviously. But then you give away Kreider, Trouba, Lindgren, all of these guys who, like, showed so much emotion and were the leaders of this team, and then they didn't do anything to replace it except slap a C on JT Miller, who like just got here. How can you? And JT Miller was like having 100-point seasons in Vancouver, and then comes he's playing injured right now, but he's hasn't had a great season. Especially in my eyes, I'm like, even if he's saying all the right things in the locker room, which he's not doing now because he's just saying I don't know what we're doing wrong and I'm embarrassed. But even if he's saying all the right things in the locker room, it's not translating. Like, clearly, it's not going from him into the players' minds.
Mm-hmm.
And then it's, like, doing any action, if that makes sense.
Like, do they not want to, like, play for each other?
That's
like,
what I don't understand.
Like, there's no, like,
is this not, like,
you know,
human nature?
There's no grit.
Exactly. Because they
yeah.
traded away everyone who had grit.
Yeah. Like, that's just, to me, like, when JT Miller the other day, I don't remember what game it was after, but it was a loss, obviously.
Yeah.
And someone asked him something. Like, what's going on, basically? And he was like, I don't know. I'm sorry. I don't know. And, how can you have the captain out there
exactly.
saying, I don't know what's going on?
And then the game
that was outrageous.
The game against Ottawa, he said that their first 20 minutes were bad, and then he liked the 40 minutes after. And then Mika said that they played, like, trash the whole game. So, clearly something is getting lost in translation there.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah, they gave up 4 goals and didn't score
yeah.
in the first 20. But then in the rest of the game, they gave up 4 more.
Yeah.
So, I guess technically they played better in the second 2 periods. They gave up, like, fewer goals per period.
But they didn't start playing until it was 6-0. And then they...
That's
yeah.
why, yeah,
that's
why,
one.
Like, I kind of agree with Mika a little more.
Yeah.
You think Mika could want? No, he couldn't wind up with a C, could he?
I was thinking about that because I was like, why is he never in the conversation?
And now, like, I think last year he couldn't be, like, coming into this season just because
yeah.
of how poor last year was.
Yeah, I'm like, how did JT Miller earn this spot? I'm just
because he had a good year in Vancouver.
I was gonna, and it was also, like, my dad and I would talk about this when it first happened. Like, he has a little bit of the, like, I don't know how to put this, like, evil energy, like the FU kind of thing.
Yeah.
That was at least back when they first got him again and
yeah.
they gave him the C. That, I was like, all right, that makes sense. Now he's lost it, though. I'm like, I'm not scared of the guy.
They're all just so, like, fractured in the locker room, like,
yeah.
post-game, and then Mike Sullivan, like, they're all so frustrated that it becomes a mental game. They can't even get it back on track, and I think that that's why Chris Drury has just decided that it's too late at this point.
So the beef is gone, but so is the energy.
Yeah.
It's basically, that's what I get
yeah.
from all this. That, like, there was infighting, certainly, last year in the locker room, but now there's just no fight at all.
Yeah.
They don't care.
I also, the game on Monday, Schneider, like, it was unintentional, obviously, but I don't know if you guys saw, like, he hit JT Miller, and Miller, like, went down. And it looked so intentional.
Oh,
like,
wow.
I'm telling you, like, I don't know where he was even going because there was no Kraken player anywhere near him.
I gotta find that.
But,
no,
so, like, please
way.
Find it because JT Miller went down, and I was like, thank you, Schneider. Like, sorry. sorry. But, because people were like, how can this even be unintentional? But I don't think that Schneider was actually trying to hit his captain.
Oh, that does look intentional. But, like, yeah, I'm sure it wasn't. I hope not. That would be crazy. No, he looked, yeah, Schneider looked, like, really, like,
yeah,
oh, God, what did I just do right after? So,
But I just thought it was.
That pretty much sums it up.
Exactly.
Honestly. Like,
I just. And then, obviously, Shesterkin being injured and having quick play for five straight games, basically.
That's not what you want.
No.
The guy's
Jonathan
40.
Jonathan Cook is 40 years old.
Love him, but he's 40.
Exactly. And he's meant for one game in a few, like in five or six, not five in a row. And then they're not going to start Spencer Martin, I don't think. So
he's not that good either.
Yeah, it just puts them in a, they're just in a bad position. And like the injuries haven't helped anybody. Fox being out for like a stint earlier and then basically playing two games and then going back on LTIR. So, yeah, not the season that we were expecting. JT Miller did not bring the promised life that I thought would happen, even though I didn't even think that it was a good decision to make him captain. I thought I was going to go to Trocheck. I would have liked to see maybe Fox. Lydia has said that through a retool, a guy like Trocheck would not be the one to lead this team through that as captain.
That's interesting.
I don't know if I would agree with that.
But, like, who would it be? JT?
No!
Like, that's what I don't think it's JT. I don't know who it is, but I mean,
don't know
like,
who it is either.
Ideal world Adam Fox, maybe, but he's injured right now.
Yeah.
But if he, you know.
I say chaos. Give it to Mika.
Give it to Mika. Honestly.
Give it to Mika and
like
see what happens.
Yeah. I'd like to see it.
I'd
just
like
for
to
fun.
See it too, you know?
Because that, at this point, what do they got to lose?
Yeah. They literally have nothing to lose.
The GM literally just said the season is over, effectively.
Yeah.
A little over halfway through. You just told your fan base not to expect a playoff run.
So for me, everything goes out the window.
Exactly. I'm talking like middle of the game. First period, he's got the C on. Second period, rip it off.
Yeah. And just give it to someone new.
Steam it onto Mika.
Exactly.
I don't even know how he got here because Mike Sullivan came to this team and it was all about defense.
Yeah.
It was all about, like, they weren't really scoring in the beginning of the season, but, you know, they were playing really well defensively. They were only giving up two or three goals. It sort of seemed like it was a matter of puck luck and a matter of time before they could start scoring. And now they're giving up 10 goals in a game. So, like, what shifted there?
What happened
to the defense? Like, I don't – it's just, like, crazy going back to October and seeing the defensive structure that this team was. And, like, that was, like, their calling card. Like, the only thing they were doing well was not giving up as many goals.
Right.
And now that's gone, and so they have nothing going for them.
I just thought of this because I was watching the highlights for the Rangers game against the Senators. Not to, like, throw any salt in the wound here, but, like, the Sportsnet highlights, right? So I usually just watch those. The first clip against the Senators didn't have any commentary, which I thought was kind of weird.
Mm-hmm.
So it was literally just the sound of the game after the opening puck drop. And the Sens scored pretty quick after the opening puck drop. So it was like first clip, you watch the opening faceoff, and then it like developed into the first scoring play. But it was with no commentary. You could hear every single skate on the ice during the highlight. There was maybe like a couple of people whispering in the background. There were a lot of fans in the seats, too.
Yeah.
It was crazy. And then the Sens go and score. And I don't remember how long it was, but I think it was like maybe a minute, maybe like a few seconds into the period. But the Sens scored, and it was just like kind of a soft groan and then silence again. And I was like, whoa.
No,
this is like worse than Toronto.
Yeah.
That's like.
Being at MSG the other day was really bad because it got to a point where like the New York fans cheered for the Ottawa's sixth goal. Like it was
God.
And then when Quick went out, because like Jonathan Quick wasn't really saving anything. And then he went out and then Martin came in and like the fans were cheering for every single save that Martin was making just because we're not used to seeing that recently. Which like I just feel so bad for Jonathan Quick. And I don't know, like I could see him getting moved too.
Yeah.
Like, I'm just like, I don't
what
know.
Team, but like, what team
like who would
accept
want,
that
like,
investment
with love to Jonathan Quick?
Yeah.
Who would want that?
I'm just kind of like,
yeah, I know that. Right, that's really
like
tough.
I'm you know,
like maybe they just
any
want,
team
like,
should
a,
want
a
him,
locker,
but I just don't think they would.
But like, what? Right, like who does he like greatly improve?
Yeah,
is my question.
Maybe they just need a locker room spirit,
like a third goaltender who like is never dressed.
Yeah.
Kind of like a late-stage Marc-Andre Fleury.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh,
I mean, man. He didn't play. He, like, won the Cup with Vegas, and he didn't play during that.
So true.
Playoffs. But I don't know.
I was looking at the Devils' schedule, like, this whole time. It is really weird to me that the Devils and Rangers haven't played yet.
I know.
I was just looking at that.
And they only
like,
play three times.
Yeah.
They don't play four games.
No, that's weird. I have tickets to both games in March.
But
which...
all three games are in March.
Oh, okay.
That's
believe
crazy.
That?
That's crazy.
Talk about March Madness.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Hudson River rivalry three-piece in March.
It's all like within 3 weeks. That's insane.
Yeah.
That'll
for
be
no reason. For because no the reason. Rangers might be eliminated from the playoffs right. by that point, and... who knows with the Devils,
so
honestly. It's like every season with this, it's 50-50. This might be one of the hardest jobs to do is to like project what the Devils are going to do or to like talk about the state of them. Because what I'm saying today,
yeah.
it's January 16th. The Devils play tomorrow against the Canes. They might score 5 goals and win. They might get shut out.
Mm-hmm.
And my reactions would be like a 180
yeah.
compared
that's
to
hockey.
What they do. Yeah.
That's hockey.
But I feel like every other team is way more predictable.
But the Rangers haven't been predictable.
I mean,
they've been bad.
Yeah.
But like, also, they had a stretch where they were coming back. They were having third period comeback wins like every other game. So, and also, I mean, like, it's just weird with... how teams can just like flip season to season.
Yeah.
It's been an unpredictable year, but I feel like the Devils are the most unpredictable team.
Yeah.
In an unpredictable year.
Yeah. I don't know. It's just like going back to the Rangers literally two seasons ago. They won the President's Trophy.
They're up. I feel like maybe Drury and their management is like holding on to that a little
yeah.
and they're not committing to like everybody goes, you
I
know.
Think the President's Trophy curse might be even worse than we thought it was.
Yeah, and
it's
then
totally
the Jets,
real.
The Jets sucking
the Jets
this year.
The Jets are terrible.
I know. It's
right.
crazy.
It makes no sense.
So that's why I'm
but
saying
the
like,
Rangers are
just,
still feeling the effects. So
yeah.
who knows how long the Jets are going to be mid.
yeah.
Like, this is really bad. Like, no wonder nobody actually wants to, like, have the most points, except clearly the Avalanche.
Yeah.
The Avalanche are trying to curse themselves. It's already, honestly, it's already kind of happened.
Yeah.
Landeskog's hurt again.
Oh, is he?
Yeah.
Oh, man, yeah.
He crashed into the net, and I think he hurt his ribs.
Yeah.
Upper body injury, because the NHL, that's how the NHL yeah. classifies yeah. these things. But he hit his rib cage on the side of the cage.
Aww.
On, like, literally on the post on the left side. It was pretty rough. It looked like something you could probably
mm-hmm.
not be injured from. But, I mean, he went down hard mm-hmm. and crashed like all the way into the boards.
That's rough.
And, it, like, the fact that it's not even, like, a re-aggravation of
uh-huh.
injury
yeah,
he already
they said
had
it's not related.
Has nothing to do with it. And now he's just going to spend more time injured. More time for the Avs without their captain.
It's
and
a bummer.
We know what that Avs team looks like without the captain.
Yeah.
yeah.
They are lost at sea.
Yeah.
Just like the Rangers have a captain and are still lost at sea.
The captain's lost, actually.
Yeah.
Yes. I'm interested in a couple of weeks for Rangers-Islanders back-to-back.
I know, yeah.
The Islanders
are
going to
really
take both
fun,
games
actually.
Because
that's fun.
The Rangers literally don't win anymore.
Long Island Railroad's going to be busy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'll be there. And I'm curious because, like I'm going to probably go to those games. I'm going to go to the games against the Devils. And who knows what this team will look like at that point because Panarin might be gone. Trocheck might be gone. And then we have nobody.
Like, literally by the next episode of this show could be an entirely different looking Rangers squad.
Yeah.
You never know.
Highly yeah. volatile
exactly.
teams in the New York area. That's why you have to come back to 5-on-3 every week
exactly.
for
that
more
is what
updates.
Keeps the people listening.
yeah, no, Chris Drury said that he met with leadership today to discuss the message and the retool.
And him
stuff.
And Panarin had a 1-on-1 meeting.
Yeah. So.
Interesting.
Maybe we'll be. I would be so sad if.
That'd be a bummer.
We get rid of him, but. Yeah. You know, maybe to see playoff Panarin, it'll be fine. Let him have his Brad Marchand moment and win a cup.
When is Shesterkin due back this year?
Yeah, he's
he
only
is?
On the IR.
After the Olympics.
Oh, okay.
Did they say that?
I thought that's what they said.
They said he might have been back like this week, but then obviously it didn't happen. They said he skated, Whoa. Him and Fox skated today.
Oh, really?
Oh, that's
yeah.
bad.
So okay. that not nearly as bad as I thought it was
no.
going to be. I mean,
thankfully.
So then that, like, come on, those two guys are
yeah,
both
exactly.
healthy. You're still going to be like, guys, the season's over.
right. Like,
Shesterkin
like,
and Fox are both
that.
Hurt. Like,
yeah.
We're last in the Metro.
I think it's
more
just like the players.
We can't do it. I'm sorry.
The players' mindsets just don't feel like they're going to switch because it's been like this for like.
Well,
three, four months.
That's a top-down issue. I
yeah.
mean, if Chris Drury's thinking like that and is publicly
yeah,
thinking
true.
Like that, that leaks down through the whole. You think the Rangers team didn't read that letter today and just go, well, what are you paying us for?
Yeah.
for the back end of this season, mm-hmm. like that, like that's like zero motivation. Unless the motivation now is to win in spite of Chris Drury, which
is crazy.
You know what? The Rangers were toxic all of last year. Why not just use the toxicity to their advantage?
Yeah, we're gonna show him. We'll get into the playoffs after he makes all these moves and show him.
Yeah.
But, hey.
That would be very Islanders of them.
Yeah,
that
true.
Would be so Islanders.
They have screwed
so
over
funny.
Lou Lamoriello so many times.
So many times, guys. So
the
many times.
Drury thinks that a retool's coming. Think again. Yeah, well, I think that's going to do it from us today. This has been 5-on-3. I'm Sophia Smith. I was joined by Tucker Austin and Grace McCarron with Emily Inardi behind the boards. As always, thank you for listening. Have a good one.